You know, I was thinking you might need a coach. Everybody needs a coach at some point in life. And I'm even thinking about studying to be a coach, like a life coach. Maybe I test it on myself first. I got to do it for 21 days. I got to prove to myself that I can be my own life coach and see some serious results. And then hire it out. Turn it into a business, a 21-day life coach change. You have got to get rid of people, stuff, situations, whatever it is that's not healthy. You have got to get rid of it. If it's not building you up, if it's not growing you, if it's not causing you to be introspective, if it's not beneficial, if it's detrimental, you got to get rid of it. It doesn't matter if it's a person, place, or thing. You've got to change it. You've got to change it. I just dropped all my food. I just dropped all my food that I just bought. It's crazy. I remember the days that I wasn't self-aware. And this is a good example of a life coach could help you. I remember younger, and I used to watch people. Now, I've talked to a lot of people. They'd get mad. Somebody'd spill something. They'd just get so mad they'd lose it. Remember when you were younger, and if you still do it, you need some help. You need a coach. You do something and you hit your hand in the wall and you hurt your hand because you ran into the wall. You ran into the door or something. So you hit the door and you get hurt worse. That means you need a life coach. It would be nice if your spouse was your life coach, but a lot of times if you're in a relationship with somebody, they take it personal. And it's not even about them. They can't disconnect. They're so connected to you, they can't disconnect. So a life coach can disconnect. A pastor should be a life coach. A counselor should be a life coach. Your main life coach is the Holy Spirit. And if you're saved, somebody who else is saved can remind you. If you do a 21-day renewal, and it might be 30 days, it might take 90 days to change a pattern. It might take 90 days, but to change that pattern, you might need a life coach. You have got to get rid of the negative. Yeah, there's negative in life, but I'm talking about the obsession over the negative. You can recognize it for what it is, but you don't have to obsess over it. Let it go. And if a person causes you negative, every time you talk to them or every time you see them, get away from them. Don't spend time with them. Separate. If you can't get away from them, spend less time with them. Spend more time with something positive. In other words, counteract it. 1%, 1 out of 10, if you have to see them 1 out of 10 times, those other 9 times, make sure it's productive, positive, and you got your identity, you're doing your thing. One of the reasons I record messages, because I know I'm in a world, a death cult world. If I speak life into the death cult, I beat the system just by my words, for real. And sometimes you have to speak it. I know it sounds Pentecostal, but it's the truth. Jesus spoke it into existence. Sometimes you have to speak it into existence. David, in the Psalms, he spoke to his soul. He told his soul to get straightened out. You got to speak it sometimes. Speak it into reality, even if it isn't. Even the Bible says that. What God speaks into existence, even though it's not in existence, it is in existence, or it will be. It already is, to be honest with you. If God speaks it, and it's the same with you, you're made in God's image. Your imagination is your power, your superpower. Your thoughts are your superpower, but they don't want you to know this. Because if they keep you in the drama, they take away your power. If they keep you in the noise, they take away your power. They get you all focused, they take away your power. Imagination, image birthing. Image nation is image birthing. You gotta make it happen, people. You gotta make it happen. You've got to quantum connect with the positive part of the sine wave. You can't always quantum connect with the negative. You've got to stay quantum connected to the positive. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He went to the cross, but he rose again. I was married to a woman. She always focused on the cross and Jesus on the cross. I said, what are you doing? He rose from the dead. Why is that? Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He rose. That's what depresses you. She just couldn't hear me. She couldn't hear me. And so I hope somebody out there can hear me, that Jesus rose from the dead. He's not on the cross. Yeah, you can stay sad and miserable and say, I'm a wretched sinner and he died for me and all that. Well, there's a time and a place for sorrow, but there's also a time for resurrection power, you know.